First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Can we be on our feet? It's the first statement in that verse I want to look at. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. And may you see that mystery in Jesus' name. God bless you. Be seated. And that mystery is the mystery of salvation. And that mystery is the mystery that is emphasized in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. That is the mystery that will be rounding up at the sounding of the seventh angel, according to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Apostle Paul let us know in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 6. This is the way he put it. 1 Corinthians, that's why it is a mystery. It's a mystery. And anything that is mystery must be decoded. How be it, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Perfection here, in the context used here, is mature, maturity. So you can read it, how be it, we speak wisdom among them that are mature. Mature here is not in physical age, but spiritual understanding. Revelation. Yet, he emphasized, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, in a hidden form. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, by which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Take note that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. The natural man. And you are not spiritual because you go to church. There are people who go to church and yet they are not spiritual. And to be spiritual is not to see vision. To be spiritual is to discern the things of the Spirit. It will take discernment for you to understand why in this age Ghost by a vindicated ministry in this age. We tell the women not to wear trousers, not to wear earrings, not to dress like they want, not to put those things on their hair. The natural woman that is going to church, even the natural man that is a pastor, there are natural people, carnal people that are pastors. They will be given it intellectual interpretation concerning that, and they will never see why the Holy Ghost will tell us, don't do this, act like this, live like this. And one thing with God is that He gives the instruction and He has the target audience. He has whom He's targeting. And only those who have the mind of Christ will understand the mind of God. And that's why it's important that we be spiritual. And to be spiritual is not to see your body vibrating. To be spiritual is more than seeing vision. And so what we've been trying to do in the last two sermons or so, what we've been trying to do is to understand a mystery of a kingdom that will help us not to be stumbled, but remain focused. And these things that I say needs your attention so that you too can spiritually discern what we are saying. The ministry of William Branham is the perfecting ministry. I have explained it here. But what God used him to do was to open door of revelation. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of God. The key to the kingdom of God, was it a physical key that was given to him? Amen. How do we know he had the key? When did he apply the key? The key opens a door for people to enter into the kingdom. And the key that was given to Peter, you and I know today that that is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We saw that key again used a second time. Hallelujah. Acts 2:38. He spoke to the Jews after he preached to them. They were pricked in their heart and they began to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? So you want to come in now? You want to come into the kingdom? He said, this is what you will do. This is the key. This is the key. Repent. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And do you know why he said ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Because Apostle Paul made it clearer to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13, for by one Spirit are you baptized into Christ. To enter into Christ, that is the key that will open the door for you to enter. Then also, because the key to open for you to enter into the kingdom, the key that was given to Peter, hallelujah, the key is the ability for him to lead people into the kingdom. And you are not into the kingdom until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was time. He had finished with the Jews. Now it's time now for the Gentiles. The same one who had the key. He didn't go to any other person because he gave the key to Peter. And after that, he was told to go to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. That is where the door for the Gentile was open. And after he, while he was here speaking, the Holy Ghost came there. The door was open. And the Gentile received the same thing that the Jews received. And they were baptized. He was not going to the Gentiles again. He had opened the door. He has finished his own. William Branham has a similar assignment. Through him, the spirit of revelation was opened. And if you catch what that man was doing, you begin to understand God's salvation plan. The mysteries of the kingdom begin to be open to you. I said, when I came into Christ, and I was faced with a lot of questions. It was only through that ministry that these questions were answered. One of it was when an anointed pastor that will speak in tongues, when he's preaching, he will vibrate. Sometimes the pole of the auditorium wants to break when he'll be shaking, vibrating. Speak in tongues, swear from head down. Is he not supposed to be an angel? We'll be saying, wow, wow. He will, from English, enter Yoruba, from Yoruba, enter tongue, from tongue, come out. And with all the anointing, he duped me. So I was confused. He duped me. While I was saying, how can somebody be like this and still be a thief? Until I saw that sermon William Branham preached, the anointed ones at the end time. Then I understood that you can have the anointing without the anointer. Hey, a great mystery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then I understood that operation of the gift is not the evidence that you have eternal life. Therefore, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. But now, we are reviewing. This is part three. We are reviewing, the difference between the bride and the denomination. This is part three, a review of the bride and the denominations. There is something I keep emphasizing that is need for us to understand. Unless you understand this, listen, this, I keep emphasizing this because by the time God allowed me to see what was going on in the denomination, I am telling you, I'm not inciting you listening to me. You cannot know this truth and feel comfortable in any denominational church. And I'm not surprised the reaction we receive from all over the world. There are people that don't know where to go again, so they just sit down and just watch on television in their homes. You see some of them in Zoom. You see some of them to be in church, they are connected. You see some of them sitting down there. And many more. All around. Praise the Lord. They are all scattered all around the world like that. There are many more. The ones you see them, it's just the view that this screen can take. Look at them scattered all over the world. America, in Asia, and everywhere. In parts of Africa, parts of Nigeria. Including lazy bride assembly members that are sitting in their home now. They couldn't come here in Lagos. Praise God. Why? There is a knowledge they have. Anyone that wants to take your eternal destination seriously, you will ask questions about what is happening in Christianity today. I show you a mystery. The mystery here, it's explained in the Bible. Number one, that's all I've been saying. Please get the last two parts I preach in this message. Hallelujah. Number one is that the church is a mixed multitude. There are two groups of people in the church. The church is divided into two. Those two groups of people are in the church. I'm talking of religious people. I'm not talking of thief that come to church to thief your handset. I'm not talking of those ones. I'm talking of people who are serving God and serving Him evidently, seriously. And yet, they don't belong. According to this mystery. I want you to understand the mystery that it's not every pastor preaching that has been called by God. Listen, I want you to understand that there are pastors that are called by God, but those pastors are only called to gather one group plus that group an and the pastor that is pastoring them, they will never go in the rapture. Hey, I didn't call anybody's name. But when I say it, you will know where to go and where not to go. Praise the Lord. You have to understand this. And that you will know that you have come to the final bus stop as far as the Gentile is concerned when you get to hear this message and you respond. The next thing is submit yourself for God to finish that perfection in you. Because anytime from now, the rapture will take place. It's not to gather us and form another denomination. It's not to gather us under another leadership of another man. For you to know that it is no more following a GO, a general overseer, 1965, God took the messenger away so that he will decrease and he who must do the work of perfection shall increase. It is the work of the Holy Ghost himself without any man disturbing it. Therefore, we have come to a stage, and that is the problem we have, that people are unable to understand what is happening in Christendom. Remember that I told you there are four unique groups, but you know the setting of the church is explained in the Old Testament, talking about the church. It starts from the Garden of Eden. I said that what you see in the Garden of Eden is a reflection of the upcoming church of Jesus Christ. I said, this, the product, is a product. We are looking at the product. We are looking at the product. We are looking at the product. We are saying here that three groups. Number one, from the Garden of Eden, we saw that two children from the same mother but different fathers. And I explained to you how it is reflected in the church. That is Cain and Abel. It was explained through the parable of the wheat and the tares. You are just hearing me. It's an explanation of what happened in the Garden of Eden that produced the confusion that is on in the whole world today. Then he moved further to make it even more clear. We move to Abraham. In this case, it is the same father but different mothers. The first one is the same, different fathers, the same mother. Now, this one now is the same father but different mothers. We are talking about who and who? Ishmael and Isaac. And I've explained that. Go and get the tape and listen and see how it fits the church. Now, of course, the last time we took the story of Esther, and we look at the chamberlains, and we look at Esther and the other maidens, and why Esther qualified to be the queen. Now let's look at the third group. I said, parent, for the parents. Esther is not about parents. This one now is same father, same mother. Okay now. What did I say is the first one? The first one is what? Same mother, different fathers. Cain and Abel. They all came from the same womb. The second one, I repeat, is the same father but different mothers. So all of them are saying, Abraham is my father. Abraham, can't you see the Ishmaelites also claiming that it was Ishmael that God told Abraham to go and sacrifice? They are all children of Abraham. Okay, I've explained that mystery. Now the same father, the same mother. Who am I referring to? I'm referring to Esau and Jacob. blessed the Lord. That story is in Genesis chapter 25. You read it from verse 19, you catch the whole story there. Who do they type in the Church of Jesus Christ today? They are a type of the end time message believers. You say, is this so? Yes. Let's read one scripture. Genesis 25. Okay, from verse 21. I just want us she was for a long time without a child after their marriage. So in verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children inside the womb struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Verse 23, my emphasis. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. Hey, Jesus. And you say, you don't believe what I'm saying? There is no other setting in the Church of Jesus Christ that fits this than the enter message believers. These people have the same father, Esau and Jacob. They have the same mother. The same message we have. The same Holy Ghost we have, we are supposed to have. But in the end time message, hear you very well. If the prophecies are made clear by events, events are made clear by prophecy or something like that. Events are made clear by prophecy. So that, yes, what is happening in the church will be made clear by a prophecy. There are two nations in your womb, Rebecca. There are two manners of people in your womb, Rebecca. Here is the message. There are two manners of people following the ministry of William Branham. Until you catch that, before you will understand the confusion that is in the end time message. All of us are supposed to be following the same man, the same man, the same message. All of us listen to the same sermons that the man preached. But we are two manners of people. One is a carnal group and the other is a spiritual group. One is a carnal nation. The other one is a spiritual nation. Why do I say they are carnal? And why is this one spiritual? Because the spiritual man is able to discern and understand what the ministry is all about. The carnal man can never understand. All that you see is a group of people that instead of looking at the message, they focus on the messenger. So what is the effect? They're just going round, circle. That man came to point us to Jesus Christ. But they are pointing people to William Branham. I have been long among them to speak authoritatively. And they are part of the things that created confusion, problem for me. And I was jumping from church to church. Church to church. And that is why, until this church started, I was never a minister in any church. Any of the churches I moved. Although they recognize me there because you mess up with scripture, I'll face you right there before you leave the altar. I knew where I was going. And I was not going to allow my soul to be toiled with for any reason by any carnal preacher. And when you disagree with them, they face you and fight you. And use their witchcraft on you. Carnal people. Will imagine that we are preaching on television and then people who believe or who hear the message through us will go to an inter-message church to join them, leave their denomination and go. They will ask you, how did you come into the message? They say, through Bright TV. Oy. Brother Brian said, we should not keep television. Brother Brian said, we should not keep television. Then every time those people are sitting down there, the people are saying, but it's through television now, I saw the truth. And you are saying, Brother Brian said, no, whether you saw it, oh, no. They disturb them before you know what. Until you leave the church, they will never leave you alone. They have idolized that man. In their pulpit, you will see the picture of the man there, William Branham. Some of them baptized in his name. In fact, you cannot preach. Your sermon is only accepted if you quote from William Branham's sermon books. I have had those who said that now that William Branham has come, we don't need the Bible again. I have heard them. I have heard somebody who said that his absolute is a sermon book. Anything William Branham said is thus said the Lord. And some even baptized in the name of William Branham. You don't know how blessed you are to see this entire message through this ministry. They killed the gifts in the church. Who are you to say, thus said the Lord? Only William Branham has thus said the Lord. No other prophet. There's no prophet apart from William Branham. Woman must not talk in the church. Woman must not talk in the church. Enter message, churches say, the Bible says, let the woman keep silence in the church. Therefore, so I told them, I said, so how do you interpret it? Do they shout hallelujah? Do they sing special number? Do they give testimony? If yes, then why are they not shutting up? That is their carnal interpretation. Oh, for you to say, thus said the Lord, do you know what the Holy Ghost is? Hey, see this one. See, you are saying Holy Ghost, tell you what. Do you know Holy Ghost? You have Holy Ghost. There's one of them that said, if you say you have Holy Ghost in the church, I was there for 7 months. If you say you have Holy Ghost, he will face you, almost physically fighting you. Do you know who Holy Ghost is? Look at you. See, Holy Ghost, you have Holy Ghost. Oh, enter me, see. This one say he has Holy Ghost. And I went to him. I said, sir, I have Holy Ghost. I said, who told you are the one to confirm to me that I have Holy Ghost? I told him, I said, sir, stop that. The experience I have, you can never explain it away from me. I was telling him that. I have Holy Ghost. He looked at me. He knew I meant it. I said, sir, stop that. If I don't have the Holy Ghost, do you know who I was before? Now you make me be waiting at dinner. Because you don't have Holy Ghost does not mean we will not have Holy Ghost. You don't have. Sir, you don't have Holy Ghost. Go and get Holy Ghost. Oh. Go and get Holy Ghost. I told him that. That's why they don't like me. In that same church, a visiting minister came for revival, and manifestations were taking place. And people were prophesying, people were seeing vision. The man came and said, everybody, chupa, spirit. He said, shut up. Ah. I carried Bible and paper, and I wrote, I sent it to him. Sir, I am leaving your church. I will not be part of a blasphemous assembly. And that was the end. I left that church. I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he was looking at the message carnally. It was not spiritual. They know nothing about the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They know nothing about the move of the Holy Ghost. Everything they interpreted carnally. Carnally. Well, you heard what our brother was telling us yesterday. He said, if I see the videos, clip of our video, they sent to him because he associates with this church. And they are criticizing Brother Moses. What is the criticism? The criticism. He said, one of you, they showed that I was praying for somebody to receive healing, and I used my leg, and I matched the person's leg, and the power of God packed the person. He said, where do you see that in the message? Where did you see the brother Abraham do that? Hallelujah. You go to that church with your problem, you go back with the problem. If you sit down there, you say anything to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus, you won't hear any response. But you mention something when Brother Abraham was in Sabino Canyon, when he was, they will all jump up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah, yes, sir. Who do this to these people? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ said, the works that I do, you that believe me, what will happen? And he added, and more than what I have done, you will do. Elijah had Elisha. That was the following. There are two people that followed that anointing. Elisha and Gehazi. They followed the anointing of Elijah. They followed the ministry of Elijah. One received double portion. The other one received leprosy. What does that mean? What is leprosy? Leprous people are in isolation. They don't make them mingle with normal people so that they will not be infected. Even in the hospital, they're in another section. You don't go there anyhow until you have been properly immunized against leprosy. And in Israel, it was not something to go near. That you are leprous, you are ostracized, you are just sent out of town. You're not, don't mingle with people. So that you'll understand why all these years, since early 70s, this entire message has been in Nigeria, why you didn't know about it. They were leprous. What made them to be leprous? Because instead of watching what Elisha was doing, Gehazi was looking at the tithe and offering. Carnal people. They hijacked something William Branham spoke. where he said the tithe belonged to the pastor. And because they follow him carnally, they hijacked it carnally. But those of us who follow him and we know what he means when he says anything he says, we know what he means. When he says the tithe belonged to the pastor, he was referring to the fivefold ministry. He was referring to the ministers. You are to use the tithe and take care of them. But all the inter-message churches I know, amen, all of them, I repeat, I say all of them that I know, apart from those who left here and started their churches, and some of them, what I'm hearing about them is still covetousness in display there. All of them, the whole tithe belong to the pastor. You will not understand. That is their estate. They will come and read it. They will come and, you know. So, that is why they fight. When somebody leaves the church, amen, another inter-message church, you leave one and go to another, that pastor will be fighting you. You collected my member. Why? It's actually not the member, it's the tithe. It's the tithe he's fighting for. So immediately you enter there and you are well to do, they tie themselves around you. They know everything about you. They make sure they establish themselves in you so that you do nothing without their permission. Even the food you eat, they will determine which one you should eat and which you should not eat. They determine whether you should marry her or you should not marry her. They so rope themselves inside of you. Where is their eye? Their eye is in the purse. You will always see two boxes, one tithe, one offering. That is, you are a member of a church, then you go buy a car, pastor no get car, when he finish you in the pulpit with quotes from William Branham, you will dash in that car. Esau, that is a, see them on the screen. See them. Who is he bowing before? Are you seeing them? See them. See them. Oh, poor boy. Can you see? You don't see? That is what is happening all over the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is Esau. But there was a Jacob. Hallelujah. Esau, for what he will eat, sold his birthright. The Bible call him a profane person. And this is the dictionary meaning of profane. It's to treat something sacred with abuse, irreverence, or contempt. It's to desecrate a holy thing. You are a profane person. The Bible says, by the time he realized what had happened, it was too late. He said he cried with tears, but it was too late. He had crossed the borderline. And I'm telling you, praise the Lord. That same man, that same man they follow, William Marion Braham, that they are hijacking his coat. He did not sit on the tithe of his church. The church was giving him allowance. He had a particular amount they were paying him, giving him for his upkeep. Either every week or fortnightly, every 2 weeks. Then they were changing his car every 2 years or so, so that the car was always new. In this church, they give me allowance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's only in a church like this that is practiced. The pastor, you don't know where you are, but you should take this mess seriously. Praise. I don't like money, Abby. If there's anybody that like money, I like money past all of Una. Because money answered all this. See, any day somebody give me better money, the anointing, they flow different. But who told you that I don't need money? So don't, if you want to dash me money, don't say this man don't like money. Bring it to, I like it. Praise the Lord. Esau is this group of inter-message believers who come into the message and hijack it for what they will eat. And because of the loophole they see there, all the ministry you see there is only pastor. You don't hear evangelist in the inter-message. You don't see prophet in the enter message. And if you are manifesting anything that will attract people to you, they will frustrate you. They will kill that gift there. That is the group, one of the groups in the end time message. And that is the group that first received the message, especially in Nigeria. They are the elder brothers. There is a younger brother. Hallelujah. That saw something. I would do everything to get it. What is it? It's a birthright. What is a birthright? It's a right that goes with a new birth. If I am born again, there are rights that go with it. Hallelujah. Healing is my birthright. Deliverance is my birthright. Prosperity is my birthright. Hallelujah. Look, listen, church. For me to be under a curse is contrary to what my birthright has provided for me. It is when you lose your birthright that you live a miserable Christian life. And because I knew what this birthright is, I will do everything to have it. I will do everything to have it. And when they were concentrating on what they will eat, I was following the same man to get what he was saying. I got it. And the battle began. Every church I was in, my wife is here, I always have problem with the pastor. Esau and Jacob fighting in the womb. I was not doing it because of this revelation. The nature in me was different. What I was seeing was different from what they were seeing. They did not see the importance of healing and deliverance. They did not see the importance of the manifestation of the gifts. They did not see that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with it. They didn't see the advantage of having a church that will allow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. They were only looking at the money. And so they are there, little flock, little flock, The money you are looking for, you are not even getting it. You sit down there, you are not even getting it. What is the effect? Mystery, mystery. And as soon as this ministry started, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As soon as I came into this message, the first thing, praise the Lord, that God did, the first thing that God did in my life is to convert me. When you are converted, then the Holy Ghost can work on you. I lay myself concentrated on the things of the Spirit. I studied this Bible. When opportunity came for me to pastor this church, we were only four that started this ministry. Opportunity came that I should be the pastor. I said, now I have opportunity now. Come and see fights. Come and see fights. All of them, the whole entire ministry believers everywhere that knew me, because I was visiting, I was very popular among them. I kept telling them, where are the gifts? Where is, you keep saying the word. There was a time they kept talking about thought pool. I think they heard me saying some of these things, they have all kept quiet. The thought pool. Our brother Cosmos said the same thing, brother Paul, you were there with me and brother Francis. He said there is something that he has been very worried. That message believers that he's been with all these years. He said, they keep saying that we are waiting for the dynamics. That is their language. You know what is? There is the mechanics and the dynamics. You know the difference? The mechanics is the setup, the build-up of the engine. You know that this is the plug, this is the brain box, this is the fuel, this is this. You know it, but the vehicle remains there. It has not moved. That is mechanics. When there is something you will do, then it will begin to move. That is the dynamics. What they are actually saying is that we are looking, we are preparing ourselves, we shall soon move. They use that to deceive their blind members to have hope, because they cannot explain to them why the gifts are not operating. Why they cannot pray for the sick. So they begin to tell me, wait, don't mind them. They are just having this denominational revival. Our own is coming. Oh, glory be to God. And that is why I conclude this with this. God had prepared me. Listen, while Esau and Jacob were in the womb, you heard the prophecy. He said, Esau, I hate. Jacob, I love. Romans chapter 9, refer to it. And he said, while they were still in the womb, they never born them. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. And somebody said, if you want to boast, you boast in the Lord. Let me tell you who I am, so that it will help you understand the nature of who your pastor is. God had long prepared me for this, even without me knowing. In 1990, I was in Ikoyi prison. I will repeat it for those who may be hearing me for the first time around the world. I was in 1990, I was in Ikoyi prison. And the healing grace was so much. Every sick person I prayed for received healing. And even the prison warders used to bring people to me in the prison to pray for them. I didn't know it was something special. But I rose to be the pastor of the church. So I thought they were coming because I was the pastor of the church. It was in that estate I had a dream. And God speaks to me a lot in dream. My dream is prophecy. It never fails. He said, I was in that dream. to confirm what our brother is saying and what all the intermessage churches are saying, including the latest error, John ministry. I have read it. He said John is now in his teaching stage. Then from there he will move to the prophetic. And where he will move to the prophetic, that is where you will see. You lie. Nothing like that. He's only telling you to cover up his inability to move beyond where he is now in grace. Because he's occupying an office that does not belong to him. He's making a claim that God didn't give him. And God cannot back up your claim. He can't back up your claim. He has a reason for calling you. And he calls you according to his purpose, not your purpose. And when he calls you, he gives you the grace to fulfill the reason he called you. And I was walking and moving and going somewhere in that dream. Then I saw the hospital of my friend. The medical doctor there happened to be a friend. But up to this moment, I can't remember who it was. All I knew is that it was a friend. And then quickly, let me greet him. I wasn't sick. Let me greet him. So when I entered, I discovered in the consultancy room he was with somebody. And then I said, let me wait. When that person comes, I will just say hello to him and go my way. Where I sat down opposite me was an old leprous woman sitting down with somebody the Lord used as a general in the Air Force that I knew so much. It was his mother. And I was looking at it. I was looking at them and I was pitying them. I said, I know if I pray for this woman, God will heal her. But if I start to pray now, I don't know whether the son will allow me. I was worried. See, then they are waiting to see the doctor. Meanwhile, I know if I pray for them, this woman will be healed. I bolted it. With one eye, they looked the man. I said, Mama, I want to pray for you. They take one eye, whether the man will stop me. He didn't stop me. The woman was saying, she needed help. She was leprous. I lay my hand on her. Every bit of that revelation has come to pass. Every bit of that revelation has come to pass. When I lay my hand on her, she was sitting, I was standing, so her breast was showing. So that I will not see her breast, her nakedness, I closed my eye. And a board appeared before me with perforations. I laid my hand on her and I said, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Then that board confused me. It moved. So it confused me. I opened my eye. What is this? And I noticed that the nail shot out. The nose shot out. That chop off before. I said, there's healing going on. I closed my eye again. Then I understood in that dream that God was telling me I should close my eye to the nakedness. No, I should not bother. I should just keep watching that board he's showing me. When the board finally closes and is plain, the woman is healed. So I kept looking at that board with my eye closed because it was a vision in that dream. Receive your healing. And then I kept praying. And when I made pronouncement, it will move. When I made pronouncement, it will move. Until everything was plain. Then I opened my eye and noticed she was completely healed. She stood up. Hallelujah. And she became attractive again. Beautiful woman. And she went and then she was so happy and she was jumping up and down. And the whole town knew something had happened. And I stepped out of that place. I didn't see my friend again. I was so excited. I was saying, Father, I thank you that you can use me to heal a leprous woman. And while I was doing that, in the horizon there, because we're filled, fire there, a group of people were coming, led by somebody who was a close friend of mine. And then he said, I was hearing that they were coming with all manner of weapons. All manner. manner of weapons. And I was scared. They were shouting and making noise. They were shouting. So Moses, you have joined these people, eh? So Moses, so I was, but what have I done wrong? I've only prayed for a woman shall receive healing. Which sin have I committed? What does this mean? I was so scared that they would finish me. I entered the room. While I was waiting, if they enter here, what I would do? I said, I would smite all of them blind, like Elijah did. And I would. I noticed they didn't enter. They were hanging their weapons. And when I noticed, they are hanging their weapons, I opened the door and walked through them like Jesus Christ. They were giving me a chance. I walked through them and I went away. I woke up. It was a dream. Naturally, since there was a healing gift and people were receiving healing, I thought, hey, God will increase my grace. Even leprous people are going to heal. But that will attract trouble for me. But they didn't get me. They didn't get me. So I had confidence. Church, today, that dream has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. That leprous woman is the end time message. Leprous, unattractive. And they are waiting for the dynamics. They are waiting for to be healed so that they will become attractive one day. They were waiting for their revival. That general is those old anti-message people that the message gave birth to. They've been carrying that woman up and down, carrying this message, but they have no solution to make her attractive. And they are so rotten. God was telling me, see your focus. Don't look at the rot in the anti-message. Continue your ministry. Watch it. When it's totally healed, you will know. And when she's eventually healed, he said, all their weapons, they will drop it. And listen, that familiar friend that I saw was speaking of one of my closest minister friends that is now in Port Harcourt. Make a no call name. He was the one that spearheaded until he wrote a book finishing me, all because of this ministry. Because I will not go it the way they want me to go. Brother Cosmos made a statement yesterday. He said, Brother Moses, you are a big mystery to the entire message worldwide. He said, you are a mystery. Hallelujah. He said, what is the mystery? He said, I am supposed to be a follower of the ministry of William Branham, preaching the ministry of William Branham, but I am not doing it the way they are doing it. So they are confused. This man is not following William Branham because they believe they are the ones that are doing it properly. Yet, I am preaching the same message William Branham brought to us. What is the difference? It is Esau and Jacob. It is Esau and Jacob. And for your information, they have all started hanging their weapons. I saw the discussion. Is Brother Lawrence here? Brother Lawrence, you are here. Wave your hand. Okay, Brother Lawrence is not here today. Somebody, a pastor who knew him from another country, was asking him his opinion about me. And he said, he gave him my opinion. His opinion about me. Because he was his pastor when he was abroad there. He said, there's a pastor in Nigeria by so-so name. He said, I am there now. That's my home church now. What is your opinion? And then he began to tell him that he came here and he saw the Acts of Apostle Raw. And he replied him. He said, thank you very much. I only wanted to see a confirmation of what I myself have seen. The enter message is now beginning to be attractive. Hallelujah. But the church of Jesus Christ will not continue with the mixed multitude like that. There must be separation. The next service, we shall look at how he's separating them. God bless you. Stand up. God's attributes were manifested to his pride in this last age. We have caught the revelation.